Please rise for prayer. Prince of Peace, Lamb of God, who did truly come and take away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Each and every one of us here today have so many reasons to sing out and rejoice. You did come and accomplish all that had to be done. I was promised and foretold. Even in this penitential season, when we remember the many ways that we have not chosen to do all that is good and right, we remember that you did come so long ago. And it was through your perfect obedience and your holy sacrifice that we are given forgiveness and therefore a reason to sing out. Please help us to join in with the chorus of those around thy heavenly throne, to rejoice in all that you have done for us, O Lord. In thy name, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Our meditation here this day comes from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart. You may be seated. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. You notice that as visually as you see with the Advent wreath over here, where the third one has been lit. But upon looking there upon us, you also notice another difference. The candle is a different color than the others around it. While Advent has been traditionally a season of penitence, when we think about our many sins and how they have separated us from God, and it's also a season of longing, how we remember those longed for the coming of the Christ child, this Sunday has been observed by the church as a Sunday of joyful expectation in the midst of the entire season. It's almost as if we couldn't wait four full weeks without a bit of rejoicing and celebrating. And I think it's very applicable to us here this morning. There is so much going on in the world during this time of year that the real reason for joy this season is in danger of being lost. No wonder then that the joy of this Sunday here of joy is placed on our calendars just before we begin that countdown for the last few days until Christmas. We use our own voices, and we have the special music with the choir and the children's choir and the chimes joining with us in rejoicing in the Lord as we join together upon this special Sunday. And from our section of the Bible for today in Philippians chapter 4, we build around that simple theme of rejoice. Isn't it something what happens to us during this season of preparations? Sometimes with so many demands we place upon ourselves, we can wonder if we will make it through Christmas. Did you ever ask the question, if Christmas brings this much anxiety, why even have it? If we're going to get so stressed over it, why do it? Well, in the midst of such thoughts and feelings, St. Paul comes to us in this section of the Bible and says, "Don't be anxious about anything." And that message is for you and me here today. Don't get so stressed over Christmas, especially as far as what we feel we still need to do and accomplish. What causes stress anyway? There is an instrument out there that some people use in showing the things that bring about the most stress. Please listen to these figures about what they say produce stress. An ordinary Christmas, they give 15 points. An argument, they give 35 points. A financial reversal, they give 40 points. Unplanned travel, they list as 30 points. Interrupted sleeping habits, 15 points. Pregnancy, 40 points. Now please get this. They say at 200 points, most people get sick. They become physically ill. They start to come apart at the seams. Now think for a moment here this morning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was pregnant. She took a full week's trip while pregnant. Her sleep was altered. Her diet was altered. Joseph hadn't made any plans ahead of time where they were going to stay in Bethlehem. Someone went out and added the stress scores each day for 1 week according to this. And Mary came up with a whopping 425 points on the stress scale. Why didn't Mary come apart at the seams? The Bible says that after she heard from the angel, saw what was being done, and heard from the shepherd, she, I quote, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We are given a glimpse even earlier about her internal trust in the Lord when she had said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And she confessed her faith in her powerful song when she sang the words, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For us, many things bring stress in our life. Where do they originate? We know Satan wears on us. The sinful world throws stuff at us and tries to mix up our priorities in life. And then we have our own sinful flesh that keeps us bouncing around on what should get the most attention. So what do we do then? That is where the word of the Lord is so important. Please listen to these words from Philippians chapter 4 once more. In the midst of sitting in jail, just because he believed in Jesus as his Savior, St. Paul said these words, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Earlier in chapter 1, he had said, I'm in chains for Christ. But even in the midst of such a tough and trying time, St. Paul still rejoiced. He went on to say, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. I am put here for the defense of the gospel. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. He rejoiced that the good news of Jesus' coming, suffering, dying, and resurrection was being preached, even if it meant personal loss of freedom as well as possible health problems. He rejoiced that the gospel of Christ was being preached. In Acts chapter 16, we hear about the events that had happened when he and Silas had earlier been in Philippi. After they had released a slave girl from the bond of demon possession, they were thrown into prison. Yet while they were there, they rejoiced in songs, singing out unto the Lord what the others heard until they were released. Music and song has always been an important part in God's people rejoicing in him throughout Bible times. And it's important here in our service this day as well. Hebrew music was primarily vocal, and that's many times why we include some chanting with it. The lyre was an instrument commonly used to accompany the human voice. As a religious ceremony, vocal music appeared in the song led by Miriam in celebration for the children of Israel having passed through the Red Sea. And you can go from Moses to Deborah to David to Solomon and so many others who used song and music to teach and to celebrate. In one place, it says that David had trained a choir numbering 288 persons. We also hear from Isaiah chapter 12, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is my song. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. Sing for joy. When you have that kind of attitude about praising the Lord and singing for the joy of the Lord, no matter the circumstance, it's pretty hard to be filled with stress and anxiety. Dr. Martin Luther was a great theologian, a great pastor, a great husband and father. And he said a few things about music. He said, music is one of the fairest and most glorious gifts of God to which Satan is a bitter enemy. For it removes from the heart the weight of sorrow and the fascination of evil thoughts. He also said, With all my heart, I wish that the divine and glorious gifts of music be recommended and praised. And he also said this, we read in the Bible that the good and godly kings maintain singers. Music is the best solace for a sad and sorrowful mind. St. Paul says in our section of the Bible here for today, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And when you do that, you know what happens. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. We go back to Mary and think of the possibilities for her to have stress. Those moments were not just before and during birth. Think of her when she thought forward to what had to happen and what her son, the Messiah, would do. She could look beyond those horrific events to still have hope for what was yet to come. Jesus, the promised Christ, went through such terrible persecutions and then the agony of the cross. He had a lot to rightly complain about, but the Bible says that he could see beyond the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 says, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. His joy was not in the present pain. He went through that terribly temporary time for the joy in doing the will of the Father and for what still lay ahead. He offered himself as the perfect ransom for our sins so that we might be given his righteousness. His joy was to see you and me experiencing the ultimate joy in heaven someday. Please think to some of your dearly loved Christian ones who are no longer here with us within this world. They no doubt had things that brought them momentary anxiety with the many commitments and workings and in home and church and family. Yet still, they could always look ahead to the ultimate joy that they someday would have. And they received that when they went to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. Again, those words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When you and I rejoice over what we have in Jesus Christ, Christmas is with all of its different tasks, can give us some real joy. What does that lead to? We hear these words, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A number of years ago, there was a great conductor who was having a rehearsal with his orchestra and is being joined with a great chorus. About halfway through that session, the trumpets were blaring, the drums were rolling, the violins were singing their rich melody. However, the piccolo player muttered to himself, what good am I doing? I might as well not be playing. Nobody can hear me anyway. So he placed his instrument to his lips, but made no sound. Within moments, the conductor cried, stop, stop! Where's the piccolo? Perhaps many people did not realize that the piccolo was missing, but the most important one did. And that's the way that it is in a Christian worship service as well. Throughout the service, other people around us may not know if I'm really rejoicing in the Lord with my own voice. But God knows when I do or do not participate. We're not here to impress others. We're here to receive all that Jesus Christ, our Lord, so graciously seeks to give unto us. The forgiveness of sins that he earned for us with his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, as well as a strengthening of our faith as we listen unto his word here in this service and in our Bible study. And for this we seek to say and sing and play with gratitude in our hearts to God. So with our own voices and the voices of the choir, even those listening over the miles on the internet, we seek to truly rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen.